D-Mace, Vingen and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Adam Vingen, Connor Newt, Brandon Bigsby here with you. Hour number three of the program. A big, big thank you to Terry McCormick for joining us in the previous hour as we look ahead to Titans training camp, which starts next week. Terry told me the first practice is a week from tomorrow, which is just crazy to think about. But you know what?
But thank goodness.
Thank the good Lord above that training camp is here. We need some new material because now we are just feasting on the bones of SEC Media Days. And look.
Which I'm good with.
I mean, SEC Media Days, it is what it is. All Media Days, they are what they are. But you know what? It gets us talking about college football in the middle of the summer. And most often, there really isn't anything interesting that comes out of SEC Media Days or Big 12 Media Days or Big 10 Media Days or whatever, ACC Media Days. But I think the most entertaining question and response we got from SEC Media Days yesterday involved Tennessee head football coach Josh Heupel. As we all know, in September, Lane Kiffin and LSU will visit Ole Miss, and that is going to be must-see TV. But remember, 5 years ago, Lane Kiffin returned to Knoxville for the first time as coach of Ole Miss, and I believe it was an LSU reporter who asked this question to Josh Heupel because Lane Kiffin will come back to Knoxville this season on November 21st. Here's that question and answer with Josh Heupel.
Lane Kiffin made his return to Knoxville in your first year as a head coach. Things got a bit spicy. Do you think that fan base has kind of cooled off, and what do you expect November when LSU comes to town?
Certainly hope our fan base hasn't cooled off. So, you know, whether it's the grocery stores being fully stocked with mustard or, you know, our sports stores making sure that they got reinforcements on the golf balls, hopefully Knoxville's ready for his arrival.
So that was Josh Heupel on Lane Kiffin, LSU at Tennessee on November 21st. And if you're a Vols fan, you remember what happened about 5 years ago when Ole Miss came to Knoxville, Lane Kiffin's return to Neyland Stadium. There were mustard bottles thrown, golf balls thrown, I guess, vape pens, liquor bottles, hot dogs, you name it. They littered the field at Neyland Stadium. And this got me thinking about my favorite hostile homecomings in sports.
Oh, yeah.
615-737-1025. What are your favorite hostile homecomings in sports? LSU at Ole Miss on September 19th is absolutely going to be on this list in a few months. LSU at Tennessee on November 21st probably won't have the same juice because Lane Kiffin has already been back to Knoxville once, but it's been a while. So, Connor, I have a list of some of my favorites.
Okay.
And I want to know if you agree with my list of favorite hostile homecomings in sports.
Let's hear it.
I'm going to go in chronological order.
Okay.
Number one, LeBron James returning to Cleveland.
Oh, yeah.
With the Miami Heat.
I remember watching that one live.
In December 2010, his first visit to Cleveland since the decision. You remember how crushed Cavaliers fans were, burning jerseys, other things. And I'm not sure I've ever seen an arena or a stadium united in their collective hatred of one person the way the Cavaliers fans absolutely gave it to LeBron James the first time he went back to Cleveland. And by the way, he had an outstanding game. But here's one of my favorite parts of that game, because I went back earlier and watched some highlights. So as you might imagine, LeBron James is in the starting lineup for the Miami Heat. And when his name is announced, the boos rain down.
It was awesome.
Also in the starting lineup for the Miami Heat that night, former fan favorite in Cleveland, Zydrunas Ilgauskas, who I had no recollection of playing for the Miami Heat. But Ilgauskas was in the lineup for the Heat, and he was given a hero's welcome right after LeBron James got booed out of the building. So I got a kick out of that when I watched that earlier. But number one on my list, chronologically, LeBron James returning to Cleveland with the Miami Heat in December of 2010.
I agree with that one. I was six, but I remember watching that one because it was a big one. I think it was on ABC maybe in prime time. I remember it was a night game, but I just remember hearing the deafening boos going throughout Cleveland. It was awesome, and I didn't know what to make of it at the time, but now as an adult, I go back and watch it, and I think it's gonna be hard to top that one. I'm curious to see how you do this.
All right. Number two, again, chronologically, this is not a power ranking. I'm doing it in chronological order. Number okay. two, Kevin Durant returning to Oklahoma yep. City with the Golden State Warriors in February 2017. I read a story on ESPN.com that the Warriors tripled the amount of security personnel they typically travel with in advance of this game. They were that concerned for the well-being of Kevin Durant. I believe his mom was also at the game. The Warriors tripled the security presence around the team leading into that game.
That was another one I remember watching just because I remember it was on Thanksgiving. Or no.
February 2017.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to remember the day that Durant announced he was signing with the Warriors. Was it on the 4th of July? It was on the 4th of July. He announced he was going with the Warriors, and it shocked the entire basketball world, and we were all looking forward to the next time they were going to meet up because they had just met up in the playoffs, and the Warriors obviously beat the Thunder to go to the finals.
All right. Number three, chronologically, John Tavares returns to New York
yep.
with the Toronto Maple Leafs in February 2019, jeered as a traitor in his return to Long Island. Fans were wearing jerseys that said traitor and Judas. This from friend of the station, Greg Wyshynski of ESPN.com. Quote, they, meaning Islanders fans, placed Tavares' jersey on the road where cars could run over it. According to one Islanders fan, cars that missed the jersey on their first pass were instructed to drive over it again.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that was a big deal when John Tavares left Long Island to go to Toronto. You know, he posted the photo of him in his Maple Leafs pajamas with his Maple Leafs bedding. It did not go over well in New York. I think everybody there expected that he was going to leave when his contract expired. But the beauty of that, too, was it wasn't until the second half of the season. It was February 2019. So Islanders fans had several months to prepare, and they did not disappoint. So I would say John Tavares returning to New York with the Maple Leafs in February 2019. And of course, as we mentioned previously, Lane Kiffin going back to Knoxville yep. with Ole Miss in October of 2021. Yep. So those are four hostile homecomings that come to mind for me.
Yeah, Lane Kiffin in Knoxville certainly comes to mind for me. I was watching that one live too. And I remember the minute the golf ball came out. That was a fun time. And you know, I remember being upset with the Tennessee fans because I thought Lane Kiffin was kind of on the redemption path. It seemed like he had, you know, cleansed his image just a little bit. It seemed like that this past year. And then he decided to, I'm Lane Kiffin again. So that's how that one is. For me, some that come to mind, of course, as a Kentucky fan, watching John Calipari come back to Rupp Arena for the first time with Arkansas was a big one. He got a bit of a mixed reaction.
I was going to ask you about that. I'm surprised you did not bring that up, John Calipari returning to Rupp Arena.
That's certainly one.
In February 2025.
If I were there, I would not have booed just because he won a championship there. It seemed to be sort of a more mutual parting of ways than it was he was actually being a traitor. But I understood why. And the one that kind of taints that one for me is Arkansas kind of dominated that game, and they came out of Rupp Arena winners. So we have the opportunity for redemption in Rupp this year. That certainly comes to mind for me. Let's see. Albert Pujols, I remember coming back to St. Louis the first time when he left for the Angels. That was another mixed bag. But, you know, Cardinals fans are pretty upstanding. Like, they applaud everyone that comes back that used to play for their team. That was the first time I remember seeing one that didn't go that way. I'm trying to think of some other ones here. Let's see.
Caleb says, the golf ball was not for Kiffin. It was because of the terrible officiating.
Yeah, okay. I'm sure.
Was the mustard for Kiffin?
Yeah. What was for Kiffin?
Was the hot dog for Kiffin? No, I don't know.
Yeah. That was a fun one. I am partially an Ole Miss guy. My grandfather played there, competed for a national title there in the 60s. I think they won in 61, actually. But so I have family ties to the Rebels. I'm big blue through and through. But, you know, I'll find myself rooting for the Rebels as a number two, a distant number two. I mean, if we're talking about Kentucky, of course, Patino coming back to Rupp Arena.
Yes, Glenn from Greenbrier just said Patino back in Rupp as the Louisville coach.
When he flipped off the student section as the Louisville coach, that was, oh, we hated Rick Pitino. Now we like him because he's kind of come back around, and he's a huge advocate for Mark Pope, so he is involved with the program now, sort of, even though he's coaching another team with St. John's. But that's probably my number one answer right there, is Pitino coming back for the first time as the Louisville coach.
615-737-1025. Your favorite hostile homecomings in sports in honor of Lane Kiffin and his return to Ole Miss with LSU during the season. Jeff says every time Ryan Suter came back to town.
Yeah, it was fun for like a year, and then you guys kept going.
I wish I would have been there for the first time. I covered the Predators for a long time. Anytime Ryan Suter was in the lineup for the Minnesota Wild here in Nashville, the boos were loud, and I would have loved to have been there for the first time. The first time Ryan Suter came back to Nashville as a member of the
Minnesota Wild.
The Minnesota Mild. The Minnesota Wild. Jeff also, Scott in Shelbyville also said, just because of how long it went on booing Ryan Suter when he came back to Nashville every time he touched the puck, because it went on for years and years, it goes in the hostile Hall of Fame. One texter says, let's see, I just found it. Sol Campbell's first game back at White Hart Lane, another great one. An entire stadium of Tottenham fans with Judas signs wishing him nothing but death and despair. The
nice.
Texter also mentions Pujols should have never been booed, won us two world titles, was disgusted by that as a Birds fan. If you win me a title, I'll never boo you, no matter what happens after. Where do you stand on that?
That's a complicated. Like I said, I would have cheered Calipari when he came back. I'm not a fan of him. I think he's kind of a fraud and a used car salesman now. But you know, every time Arkansas comes into Kentucky's path, I want to beat the absolute hell out of him. But I don't know. That's an interesting question, because I feel like there's instances where I would and there's instances where I wouldn't. Like if, let's see. I'm trying to think of an example. Like, if P.K. Subban came back, if let's say the Predators win the Stanley Cup in 17, and would you still cheer P.K. Subban? Because I know a lot of Predators that aren't fans of his.
I don't see P.K. Subban as a villain. In that trade, you know, it made sense at the time. So I don't – look, P.K. Subban certainly had his detractors. I'm not sure I put it in the same category. Gator Tim says, Jimmy Vesey also booed vehemently. That is true. That was a really fun game. The first time Jimmy Vesey came to Nashville after he jilted the Predators and signed with the Rangers. I remember, because I was watching the Rangers bench, because I wanted to make sure I saw the first time Vesey hit the ice. Even before his skate blade hit the ice for his first official shift, as he was just stepping over the boards, the boo, like it started before he even hit the ice. That is a good one, Jimmy. One texter says, yeah, I agree. You don't have to be a fan, but we're all square at that point as far as I'm concerned. A neutral reaction. If someone comes back to town who helped your team win a championship.
I agree with that.
Let's go to Ryan in Nashville on our phone line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. Ryan, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey. I got to, you got Brett Favre's return to Green Bay when he came with Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
And then the Ryan Suter one, I was there. They were staying at the Hilton across the street from the from Bridgestone. There were fans that were standing by the door waiting for him to walk across so they can boo him the entire time he walked into the building. It was bad that night. They made sure that he knew that he was not welcomed in that arena.
Thank you, Ryan. Yeah, I wish I could have been there for the first Ryan Suter return to Nashville. That was before my time in Nashville.
But my mom's chimed in.
All right, Mrs. Newt.
My mom said she's a huge Cowboys fan, so she says Deion Sanders playing with the Cowboys against the Atlanta Falcons for the first time. Apparently, they booed the absolute crap out of him.
Scott in Waverly says, I was at the Titans game when Derrick Henry first came back, and it was a mixed bag of cheers and boos.
Why would you boo Derrick Henry?
Wait a minute. Why am I forgetting?
He hasn't played here
yet. They haven't played here yet, the Ravens. The Titans are going to Baltimore this season. I believe that will be the first time the Titans have faced the Ravens since Derrick Henry left. Unless I have completely memory-holed that game.
I don't think he's played here yet.
I have no recollection. Brandon's back there Googling for us just to double-check. But I have no recollection of Derrick Henry playing against the Titans yet. It's going to happen this coming season. By the way, I believe the Titans are 8.5-point underdogs on the road at Baltimore.
The last time that the Titans and Baltimore played was October 15th, 2023. So that was well before Derrick Henry.
Yeah, he still had
another Scott,
year.
I want to know what you're watching, my friend. But I have no recollection of that. So at least I know I'm not insane. 615-737-1025. Josh Heupel had a funny answer yesterday at SEC Media Days about Lane Kiffin making yet another trip to Knoxville in November, which led me to ask this question. What are your favorite hostile homecomings in sports? Certainly Kiffin going to Ole Miss in September is going to be on that list. LeBron James going back to Cleveland with the Heat. Kevin Durant going back to Oklahoma City with the Warriors. John Tavares going back to Long Island with the Maple Leafs. Lane Kiffin going back to Knoxville for the first time. 615-737-1025. Connor Newt, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Adam Vingan, Connor Newt here with you. Talking our favorite hostile homecomings in sports. 615-737-1025. By the way, the texter who mentioned Derrick Henry's return to Nashville, he corrected himself. He meant Mike Vrabel returning to Nashville this past season.
That's a pretty weird mix-up there, but all right.
I mean, look, it happens. We're driving. You're doing talk-to-text. Weird things happen. I mean, I wasn't expecting a hostile environment for Mike Vrabel when he came back with the Patriots. It had been a couple of years. I understand the circumstances around his firing. It wasn't a hugely popular decision. I think people understood the decision. But I don't think Mike Vrabel had done anything for him to warrant a hostile reception when he returned to Nissan Stadium earlier this year. One texter says, and I agree, a good one this year will be when Brady Tkachuk goes back to Ottawa with the Florida Panthers.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I want to say that happens relatively early in the season. I want to say it does happen in October, but I don't have the schedule in front of me. But yes, Brady Tkachuk going back to Ottawa with the Florida Panthers.
Mitch Marner going back to Toronto for the first time.
Well, that happened this past season.
Yeah, that's an example.
Yeah, but I don't think it was very hostile, though.
Was it not?
I think he got a warm reception from Maple Leafs fans.
Look at the Canadians. They're so nice.
Yeah, generally. I mean, I'm sure there were some boos, but they played a tribute video to him, and I think he got a warm reception. Dylan in Antioch says, ask Willie about Mark Howard's Jimmy VZ obsession, LOL. Well, unfortunately, Willie isn't here to answer that question. Josh on our text line says, damn, Adam completely ignored Connor's mom. So rude.
You did.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Newt.
You did.
I'm taking good care of your son for the next 30 minutes. I apologize. Don't be mad at me. I'm trying to think of other ones that come to mind. Terry McCormick, who was in studio in the last hour, texted me and said, Derek Mason getting booed after spiking the ball and celebrating a Ravens comeback win at Nissan Stadium. McNair and Samari Roll also playing for the Ravens in that game. I know Derek Mason.
Derek Showman.
I know Derek Mason. He likes it.
Would he stoop to that level?
What?
Of taunting the opposing fan base?
Yes. he'll tell you he wouldn't.
I mean, I've seen the video countless times of him with Bill Belichick, but he never is, one with him with the fans.
He is an ultra, ultra competitor, even now.
You're forgiven by my mother. By the way.
Thank you, Mrs. Newt. Keith says Alexander Radulov coming back with Dallas. That's a good one as well. I wish I had been there for the first return. I don't think I was here yet when that happened. Keep them coming. 615-737-1025. Your favorite hostile homecomings in sports. As we await your replies, The Athletic earlier today published its college football quarterback tiers for 2026, ranking every projected starter from 1 to 138. The number one quarterback on the list, Trinidad Chambliss of Ole Miss.
Wow.
The number one quarterback in 2026, projected starting quarterback, according to The Athletic, followed by Dante Moore at Oregon, C.J. Carr at Notre Dame, Darian Mensah at Miami, and Julian Sayin at Ohio State. Arch Manning outside the top five. Arch Manning at number seven. Sam Levitt rounding out, quote-unquote, tier one at number eight. If you're curious for how the quarterbacks stack up specifically in the SEC, Trinidad Chambliss, number one, Arch Manning, Sam Levitt, they're in tier one. Tier two, Gunnar Stockton of Georgia, Marcel Reed of Texas A&M, and John Mateer of Oklahoma, and that they're in tier two. Tier three, Lenora Sellers, Byrum Brown of Auburn, and Austin Simmons of Missouri. Tier four, Kamario Taylor of Mississippi State, Keelan Russell of Alabama, Kenny Minchie of Kentucky, Aaron Filo at Florida, and Jared Curtis at Vanderbilt. Curtis, number 57 overall, but tier four in the SEC. KJ Jackson of Arkansas, Faison Brandon at the bottom of the list. Sorry,
wow.
Balls fans. The lowest starting quarterback in the SEC, but number 75 overall. Any arguments over those rankings, Connor Newt?
If we're going strictly off SEC.
If you want to look at the SEC, we'll look at the SEC.
Austin Simmons is interesting to me just because he got hurt last year with Ole Miss. That thus started the whole Trinidad Chambliss saga.
He's number 26 overall, but in tier three in the SEC along with Lenora Sellers and Byrum Brown.
I'd bump him down.
Okay.
I would bump him down just because he doesn't have the volume of SEC play, and I have realized we're comparing him with Byrum Brown, who also hasn't played in the SEC. He's a transfer from South Florida. But he hasn't put together quality starts, in my opinion. And I don't know. There's a reason he wasn't brought back for Trinidad Chambliss. Now, maybe that's a testament to how good Trinidad Chambliss really is, who I've been banking on. He's my Heisman pick for this season. But I would knock him down. I don't know. Jared Curtis I would probably knock down, too, if you're going to put Faison Brandon in that last level, just because I put them in kind of the same category.
Curtis, number 57 overall. Brandon, number 75 overall.
That's too steep a gap for me. Just because I think they're both true freshman quarterbacks. Neither one have any college football experience whatsoever. So I think it's hard to compare the two when we haven't seen them even take the field in college football. Not just the SEC, in college football in general.
Here's the write-up on Curtis. Flipping Curtis, a top five recruit committed to Georgia, was a coup for the Commodores. He's the highest-rated signee in program history. Is he worth the hype? Probably so, yeah, an SEC GM said. He's still battling for the job with Blaise Berlowitz, who backed up Diego Pavia the last 2 years, but Curtis is clearly Vanderbilt's quarterback of the future. He's big with the arm to make any throw at all levels and can be a problem when extending plays given his strength and mobility. We couldn't afford him, but we liked him, an SEC assistant said. I think he's really good. We'll see what his mental makeup is. I think he's going to get beat up early, and if he can weather, then I think he'll be fine.
I think that's fair. I think that's a fair analysis. But I don't understand why you can apply that logic to Curtis but not to Brandon. Brandon's a five-star quarterback as well.
All right, here's what The Athletic says about Brandon. Tennessee hasn't yet declared a starter between Brandon and redshirt freshman George McIntyre, but Brandon, a top 10 national recruit, has the profile and ability to compete right away. He's tall and lean with a big arm and good mobility. He has no fear taking downfield shots when the opportunity arises, which fits the Vols offense well. There will be some growing pains, as with most true freshmen, but not much question about Brandon's physical talent. Quote, Brandon has the size and ability, and SEC GM said, just have to see him process.
Those are very similar write-ups to me for quarterbacks on two different tiers.
That is true.
So I don't know. I would put them on the same tier, whether that's the same tier Curtis is on or, in my opinion, that lowest tier. Not because I'm knocking on their talent and what they can do. I just haven't seen it. I don't know what they're capable of in college football because they haven't played it yet.
All right, the top 10 overall. Again, this is The Athletic's ranking of every projected starter in college football this season. Here's the top 10 regardless of conference. Trinidad Chambliss, you'll have to help me with some of these names.
Mm-hmm.
Trinidad Chambliss of Ole Miss, number one. Dante Moore of Oregon, number two. C.J. Carr of Notre Dame, number three.
Okay.
Darian Mensa of Miami, number four. Julian Sayin of Ohio State, five. Drew Mestemaker?
Yes.
Of Oklahoma State, number six. Yeah. Arch Manning, number seven. Sam Levitt, number eight. Jaden Maiava?
Maiava.
That's Maiava?
No. It's, what is it? It's
not Rocky Maiava.
Yeah, it's Maiava.
M-A-I-A-V-A?
I think it's Maiava.
Maiava?
I think it's Maiava, not Maiava.
Maybe I'm just confusing.
You're watching
him
too much
Rock.
Wrestling.
Yeah.
Jaden Maiava of USC, and then Noah Fifita?
Fifita. Of Arizona.
Of Arizona. Yep. That's your top 10. Gunnar Stockton, Josh Hoover, Marcel Reed, JKS, and Kevin Jennings round out the next five.
I would put Gunnar Stockton in that top 10. I would replace him with Noah Fifita. I would switch those two. Trinidad, I would put at number one for sure. Dante Moore at two. Those two are comparable to me because I think you could argue that Dante Moore would have gone number two overall in this past year's NFL draft. Let's see. I like Sam Levitt. I like the fit with LSU. I think he's fine there. C.J. Carr proved a lot last year starting as a freshman for Notre Dame. I like him. Jaden, now you have to help me. Maiava.
Thank you, Braden.
He's good. I think he's a bit overrated just because he has the USC across his chest, and USC is a traditional program, and they're trying to return to relevancy. Josh Hoover, I think I would put higher too. Playing with Indiana, I like the fit with Kurt Cignetti. Good arm there. He just needs to hone in on the accuracy and the interceptions, but I think if anyone can drill that out of him, it's sick. So I would put him right outside the top 10, but I think he's very, very close to being in that caliber.
For kicks and giggles, locally, Roman Gagliano of MTSU, number 116 out of 138 on the list. And by the way, number 138, Trey Hedden of New Mexico State.
I wonder what the New Mexico State fans are thinking about that.
I'm wondering if Trey Hedden has this list printed up in his locker right now.
I would.
The worst projected starter in college football, according to The Athletic.
I would use that as motivation. Maybe you'll throw 12 picks instead of 14 this year.
Oh, well, we'll see. 615-737-1025. Quickly, we do have one more of our favorite hostile homecomings in sports. One texter says, if Dylan Larkin is traded and he goes back to Detroit, that's another one to look at. Red Wings fans hate him already.
Yeah.
That would be good. I am curious about what happens to Dylan Larkin now that Steve Yzerman is no longer in charge of the Detroit Red Wings.
If he isn't traded, will they still boo him? Like, if he's still in the Detroit starting lineup, will they still show some disdain for him?
It's a good question. I'm trying to think of examples. Because he's not, like, holding out or anything. Like, if he's under contract, so if the Red Wings don't trade him, he's going to show up to training camp, I have to imagine. And I'm sure there are Red Wings fans that hate Larkin already, but I'm not sure. I don't think his own fans are going to jeer him if he's still in the lineup for the Red Wings when the season starts. 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your favorite hostile homecomings in sports, but we'll wrap up the show by playing the game that's sweeping the station, one day the nation. That is, where are they now? That's coming up next. Connor Newt, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, 1025 The Game. Connor Newt, Adam Vingan, wrapping up the show with you. Here's what's funny about SEC Media Days. I'm watching the Paul Feinbaum show. Feinbaum's on his set in a suit and tie, and he's having a reporter on. I did not catch his name. He's wearing a baseball cap and a wrinkled collar shirt. Like, this is how reporters actually dress. I do remember, I think it was last year at the SEC spring meetings, Feinbaum had Rexroad on, and at the spring meetings, Feinbaum has his setup, like, near the beach. So it's Rexroad and Feinbaum at the desk.
Yes, I remember
the
this.
The crashing waves behind him.
It was beautiful. It looked like a cologne commercial.
Robbie was making fun of Joe's polo shirt that day. Rexroad, not necessarily a fashionista. I don't think I'm speaking out of turn to say that about my dear friend Joe Rexroad. But unfortunately, there was not a sequel to that because Rexroad did not go to SEC spring meetings earlier this year. Mike, on our text line, we were talking about the college football quarterback rankings on The Athletic. Mike wants to know, where's old Nico ranked?
Yeah.
Nico Iamaliava is number 25.
Too high. Way too high.
Number 25. Here's the write-up, because Mike wants to know the write-up. You could argue that Iamaliava was more impressive during the Bruins 3-9 season than he was at the as the starter during Tennessee's CFP season in 2024. He took fair criticism for how his time with the Vols ended, but showed a ton of competitive character last year, despite a horrendous team season that featured a messy coaching situation, underwhelming skill support, and a bad offensive line. Iamaliava showed up and battled every week with no complaints, even though his team was undermanned almost every game, and he essentially willed UCLA to one of the biggest upsets of the season against Penn State. Quote, "This guy is so freaking good," a Big Ten assistant coach said. "Single-handedly beat Penn State. Dangerous in every sense of the word, can make every throw. There are reasons to be optimistic about Iamaliava this year, now that UCLA should have competent coaching with Bob Chesney." Iamaliava, number 25.
Too high.
On the list.
Way too high.
Can I pitch in with the stat comparison? Because I actually have them between Tennessee and UCLA.
Yes, please.
Okay, so keep in mind as well the two different teams, obviously, UCLA and Tennessee, and how bad each one was. His stats are actually either similar or worse despite making nearly the same amount of passing attempts. He threw 323 times this past season, 334 times with Tennessee. Nearly 700 less yards, nearly two less average yards per throw, six less touchdowns, two more interceptions, was sacked just one less time at UCLA than he was at Tennessee, and his longest pass all last season was 45 yards.
Okay. Well, according to The Athletic, you could argue that Iamaliava was more impressive this past season with UCLA.
Sure. Still too high.
I wonder how much he got paid to
Where would you put him?
Like the 40s.
A plummet for Nico Iamaliava.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to go and think of, what is he at, 25?
He's at 25.
I'm not going to think of 25 quarterbacks that are better than him.
He is sandwiched between Rocco Becht of Penn State and Austin Simmons of Missouri.
I mean, I think Nico's better than Simmons, but I don't know. 25 is too high for him, in my opinion. That's just me.
Okay.
And well, I'm sure Vol Nation agrees with me.
I nailed the pronunciation of Iamaliava last year with all of the what I called Iamali drama. So now I can say Iamaliava like a friggin' champ. All right. We're going to wrap up the show just as we did yesterday. Connor Newt is on the program helping me this week with Willie and Derek on vacation. It's time to play the game that's sweeping the station, one day the nation. It is time for Where Are They Now? So if you haven't played Where Are They Now, here are the rules. take an athlete from one of the four major professional sports.
You can NFL, go outside if you want.
Okay, but typically we keep it within the NFL, NBA, MLB, and NHL.
Yeah, whatever you want to do.
You list that player's career path. The player can be active or retired, and we try to guess who that player is. So I've got one right in front of me. So here's an example. We'll start with the NFL. Here is this player's career path. New Orleans, New England, Los Angeles Rams, Houston, Dallas, back to New Orleans, Buffalo.
Brandon Cooks.
Bingo.
Yeah that's good job. He beat me by 1 second.
Brandon nailed it. All right, Connor, you got one?
I do.
All right, let's do it.
Let's go to the hardwood here, folks. Player began with the Utah Jazz, then to the Memphis Grizzlies, Milwaukee Bucks, Phoenix Suns, Charlotte Hornets.
Okay, give me the teams again.
Utah Jazz.
Okay.
Memphis Grizzlies.
All right.
Milwaukee Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Phoenix Suns.
Okay.
Charlotte Hornets.
Something tells me he was a part of the Mike Conley trade because he went from Utah to Memphis.
Perhaps he was.
It's not my boy Grayson Allen, is it?
It is your boy Grayson
Allen.
A.K.A., according to Pro Basketball Reference, G-Money and Debo. I don't know where Debo comes from, but it is Grayson Allen.
I mean, if you've ever seen the movie Friday, Grayson Allen looks nothing like Tiny Lister, a.k.a. Debo. But the nicknames on Basketball Reference, Hockey Reference, I don't know where they come up with them because I don't think half of them are real. All right, Brandon, you got one?
I do have one. We're going to go to the NFL for this one.
All right.
All right, this player started out his career with the Houston Texans, then the Indianapolis Colts, then the Tennessee Titans, the Atlanta Falcons, the Tennessee Titans again, the Carolina Panthers, the Chicago Bears, and most recently played with the Cleveland Browns in 2024.
So how many separate stints for the...
With the Titans, he spent two stints here.
Okay, so it's not... It's not Danico Autry.
No.
Who's apparently retiring.
Let me think here.
Would you like his college?
Please? Yes.
Texas.
Tejas. Tejas, Tejas.
Texas.
He was drafted in the third round in 2017.
Oh, so pretty recently, huh?
I have no idea.
I'm sort of blanking on this one, too.
One more hint.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's a relation to the Derrick Henry conversation from earlier.
Is it Dontrell Hilliard?
No, but you are close.
Oh,
Who's the other running back?
Dante Foreman.
Deontay Foreman?
Yes.
Okay. I need a moment to find one. So, Connor, if you have one.
Okay. Let's go to the ice.
All right. Let's do it.
Montreal Canadiens.
Okay.
Nashville Predators.
Okay.
Florida Panthers. Washington Capitals. And Pittsburgh Penguins.
Okay. Say Montreal.
Montreal.
Nashville.
Nashville.
Yep.
Florida.
Okay.
Washington.
Uh-huh.
Pittsburgh.
Okay. Montreal, Nashville, Florida, Washington, Pittsburgh. Okay, I don't think it's Frankie Bouillon.
No, I'm not deep enough to pull that one.
Nashville, Florida. It's not Nick Cousins. It's not Jonathan Marchessault. Florida, Washington, Pittsburgh. All right, I need a hint.
Some say. I'm not going to give you position.
Okay.
But some say he is the guy before the guy in Nashville Predators history.
It's not David Legault.
Repeat the first team one more time.
Montreal Canadiens.
It's not Subban. It's not.
It's someone we are very close with here at the station.
It's not Chris Mason. It's not Hal Gill. He didn't play for Washington.
No, it's not Hal.
Oh.
Hal played for Boston.
Yes. It's not Chris Mason. Someone we're very close to on the station.
physically close to. Some say he might be in the room with us right now.
Hold on. Let me scour the bobbleheads. It's not Hartnell.
Thomas Vokoun.
It is Thomas Vokoun.
And I was at a disadvantage. I don't have the bobbleheads in here with me, but when you said the guy before the guy, I was like, that has to be before Pekka.
Yep.
So I was like, Thomas Vokoun.
I was thinking Forsberg when you said the guy before the guy. Okay. All right. Brandon, you got one? I was so consumed with that, I forgot to look one up.
I do have one. We're going to actually go to the hardwood here for this one.
Okay.
Try me, pal.
Okay, I will try you. I think you'll probably get this one, but we'll see. All right. This player played with the Sacramento Kings, okay, the Chicago Bulls, the New Orleans Pelicans, the New York Knicks, the Shanghai Sharks, the Phoenix Suns. And that was last in 2019 when he was most recently in the NBA.
Who the hell? Okay. Kings, Bulls, Pelicans, Knicks. And then who was the last one?
The Phoenix Suns in 2019.
Suns.
All right, one more time.
All right. Kings.
Yes.
Bulls, Pelicans, Knicks, Suns.
Okay, it's not. Okay, I'll tell you my first guess. I don't think it's Jonas Valanciunas.
No, it's not Jonas.
He played in Toronto.
Is it? Okay, I've got a guess here. Is it Trevor Ariza?
It is not Trevor Ariza. I will not give you the school because that will make it too obvious, but I will tell you his draft year, 2011.
Okay.
2011. Okay. Is the school of the fan base of one of the two people sitting in this room?
No.
Okay.
Is it Darren Collison?
It is not. I will tell you that the school he went to is a blue school, though.
Okay.
But it is not
so probably
Duke
Kansas.
Or
it's not Duke or Kansas. Oh, man.
It's probably Kansas then. Who played?
It's not Rondo.
No, Rondo played at Kentucky.
It is a guard.
Okay.
Not Chalmers.
This is going to kill you guys. When you
I know.
Who it is.
Oh, man.
I'm going to feel horrible.
Is it Tyreek Evans?
No.
No, he played in Memphis.
I give up.
And Indiana.
Jimmer Fredette.
Oh.
BYU legend.
A different shade of blue. A different shade of blue. All right. Let's go back to the ice. Nashville Predators. Minnesota Wild. Winnipeg Jets. New York Rangers. Nashville Predators.
Okay.
Minnesota Wild.
Wild.
Winnipeg Jets. New York Rangers.
Okay.
I will give you a hint. He is a defenseman.
Okay. Let's see.
He played 114 games over 5 seasons for the Nashville Predators.
Oh, my God.
Between 2014 and 2019.
Wow. So he was here during the prime years.
Yes.
Okay.
He was a depth player, a depth defenseman.
Okay. So it's not the illustrious career of Philip DiGiuseppe here in Nashville.
No, he's a forward, but it's not DiGiuseppe. But in terms of the sound of his last name, it's similar to DiGiuseppe. It's Italian.
Rocco Grimaldi. Or he was a forward.
Good guess, he's a forward. But his name is also Italian. Fan favorite.
Okay.
This is going to kill me when I hear who it is.
All right. Let me know if you guys have a guess or I'll just reveal the answer.
I think we can work through this.
All right. I'll let you guys work through it.
He's a defenseman.
He's a defenseman. He played 114 career games with the Predators over 5 seasons between 2014-15 and 2018-19. His career high in games, 36 with the Predators in 2018-19. He played 51 games for the Jets in 2019-20.
Oh, this is a Milwaukee Admirals legend then.
He spent some time there, yes. Fun fact, his then-girlfriend helped me at Nordstrom at Green Hills once because she worked there while I was
nice
looking for something to wear.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm getting this
one.
All right.
I'm conceding.
The answer Anthony Boteto.
I wouldn't have gotten that.
I wouldn't have gotten that either. I forgot about him.
Caleb on our text line. You got it, my friend. It's Anthony Boteto. And that wraps up today's edition of Where Are They Now? A big thank you to Joey Dwyer of Vandy on SI for joining us in the first hour. Terry McCormick of Main Street Media sitting in with us for the entire 4 o'clock hour to preview Titans training camp on tomorrow's program. Trevor Maddich will join us in the 3 o'clock hour. We'll talk college football and more with Trevor Maddich. Nick Suss of the Tennessean will join us during the 4 o'clock hour as we continue previewing Titans training camp first practice a week from tomorrow. So Suss will be in studio with us to help us break down the Tennessee Titans. But in the meantime, have a wonderful rest of your evening. Keep your head up. You know, we've turned into Florida, really, with all of these random pop-up downpours. I think there are supposed to be some more tonight. So if you're out and about, just keep your head up because it might pour on you.
As Andy Grammer said, got to keep your head up.
Got to keep your head up. Whoa. Yes. Look at that. Look at that synchronized whoa-oh-ing there. But have a wonderful rest of your evening. On behalf of Derek Mason, be loved, love on your people. And Connor, tomorrow at 3, we'll be talking, and
you'll be listening.
Peace.